The congregation, with the help of the Lord, we want to preach the gospel to you this morning, according to the portion we read, nearly the same as last week. But we emphasize now not 37, but verse 38. In verse 37 is emphasized that the Lord is bringing in us. We thirst. Do you thirst? We come to the Lord Jesus. Did you come this week? Thirsting, coming, applying on him, crying inwardly, oh Lord, fill my heart with that living water. And we drink. And at the moment we drink, then the living water is coming in us. Then we enjoy. Then we are filled with the love of God, with the hope in Christ, drinking out of the wells of salvation, always drinking. And when we drink, thirsty again, coming again, all the time drinking of the wells of salvation, till we are there, where we shall not hunger and thirst forever, but for all eternity shall be filled with God himself. That's what he emphasized last week. But now we want to emphasize what's coming out us. For that's what the Lord Jesus wants to teach us too. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. All true believers in our midst, all who drink of the living water, what's coming out of us? The Lord teaches, out of our belly, out of his belly shall flow not drips, but rivers of living water. It's going out, it's flowing out. So that is the theme of the sermon of this morning. Rivers of living water. Can you remind, my dear children? Rivers of living water. We first see the spring. Spring. In the second place, we consider the rivers. The rivers. And in the third place, the outcome. It comes out of us. Rivers of living water. And they find their way on the places where we live. And they spray their blessing where the Lord brings it. My dear children, for you one other time. Rivers of living water. The spring, the rivers, and the outcome. But let us first sing together Psalter 261, 1 till 3. 361, 1 till 3. Dear congregation, did you ever win a soul for Christ? Look back in your memory. And do you know somebody who was drawn to the Lord by your word, by your deed, by your prayer? Another question. Are you really concerned about that? Is it your prayer and desire tomorrow, at the place where you live, at school, to be used by the Lord for the conversion of somebody? How do you look to your neighbor? Do you already look to your neighbor with the eyes of Christ? When living water is in you, came in you, Christ himself came in you, his Holy Spirit came in you, and he never goes away. And when you are drinking and were drinking, again drinking, all the time drinking, every day drinking, from out the wells of salvation, it's the Spirit, it's the Holy Spirit who refresh you, who encourage you, who guide you, and he renews you. He makes a new creature of us, new thoughts. You see a man, you see a child, and what are you thinking? A nice man, a lovely child. Or do you see also a man on the way to eternity, a child on the way to the judgment throne, a young guy who needs salvation? And do you and do you feel compassion in your heart with your neighbor, with your colleagues? They are all on the way to eternity. And without Christ, eternally damned, eternally lost. Our heart must cry about it. Jesus, seeing the crowd, wept. Inwardly moved with compassion. That's the love of Christ. And when Christ is coming in us, growing in us, his love is growing in us. And he changes our mind, our thoughts, and how we look to other people. So that's the question which I give you as homework. It's not a question for this moment only, of course, but it's a question to take with you and to bring it before the Lord. Lord, how do I see my neighbor? A matter of prayer. Let thy love come in me, grow in me. I sometimes and often so indifferent. For we live in a time you must respect everybody. You must respect every religion. Let everybody free. Let everybody free to go to hell. Is that love? Is that compassion? Is that the mind of Christ? It's the spirit of this world. It's the devil. A Christian said, I am saved to save. I am saved to save. It's hard, isn't it? I know. I remember the godly woman from my youth. And she told me, I was a young guy of 18, just converted and seeking the Lord and his people, and I liked it to hear their life story and their experiences. And I remember that old godly lady very well. It's more than, well, 60 years ago. But I can have her in my eyes, in my remembrance. And she told me that she was brought up in a strict Reformed family. Nothing was allowed. Sunday at home, this you may not do, that you may not do, a lot of rules and no love. And she said, from my childhood, I developed a hate, an aversion against church, against religion. And I planned in myself, when I'm adult, I never go to any church, and I don't want to have a husband either, going to church. I want to live in the world. I want to enjoy my life. That's what he took of me. So he's mad against her parents, against God, against the church, against everybody. And she succeeded. She grew up, broke with God and his service, married with a man outside the church. And then when she was about 28, she became ill, very seriously ill, nearly unto death. And her neighbor was a godly woman, but she hated her neighbor. And she often thought, hey, that I must next such a person. So they didn't want anything to do with her. But her neighbor, that was the custom in the time, when somebody was ill, it's long ago, then only your neighbors helped you. There was no care otherwise. That was normal. Neighbors help each other, care for each other. So that neighbor, that godly woman, went to her and cared for her very lovingly, very tender, 6 weeks at a row, and spoke nothing about the word, about Christ, nothing, the whole time, never. For she felt the enmity, and she knew it, but she prayed the more. Sometimes words directly are not working, and prayer, through prayer, is always working. For then we rely on the Lord, Almighty love, irresistible love. So she departed at the last day, and she said to her neighbor, neighbor, you are recovered now. I don't come back. But she said, know one thing. When you had to die now, you was lost forever. Bye, neighbor. Is that not a good message? It's a true message. And the Lord used it and pierced her heart And from the very moment, she had not one or day rest, till she found a true rest in Christ Jesus. And she became such a nice Christian lady, so lovely and so tender. She witnessed of the hope of Christ in her. She was an old woman and I was young. And I liked it to hear her and to be with her. That was her life story. Well, we go to the text itself. It's the day of the great feast. You remember from last week, the Feast of Tabernacles, the feast which is a remembrance that we are on the way through the wilderness, that we cannot stay here, and that our heart must be in the promised land. But in the wilderness, the wonderful care of the Lord, bread from heaven, water from the rocks, water, water, living water. It's all Christ in the wilderness. It was all Christ in the feast. And so the Lord Jesus was crying on the last, and that was the biggest day of the feast. And then he cried what we emphasized last week. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And then he explains us now what it is to drink, to believe. Simple to believe. Truly to believe. Do you believe? You don't believe. Then you hear, I'm lost. And you never cried. You never took it serious. You know it, you heard it all the time. Yes, Pastor, I know. But your heart must believe, not only your brains. You must drink of the living water that brings life, eternal life in our heart, that changes us totally. If anyone believes, you need faith. Then you hear of the love of Christ, and you are not moved by it. You stay cold and hard, for you know it, you heard it all the time, and you never, never heard it really until you believe. Then your heart becomes filled with the love of Christ and a living thirst after him, for drinking him, his grace, his glory, and the sureness of his salvation. Faith is a living matter, that's living water. And you drink that living water when you truly believe. If any man, he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said. Yes, congregation, our Lord Jesus fully understood, of course, but his whole life and thinking was filled with the scriptures. And that's what he here teaches too. He's always directing us to the scriptures. What the Holy Spirit has written in the past by man, that's the truth. Also, that belongs, cannot be missed by living water, by the true faith. Do you recognize that? By grace, I can say that. That when you read a word, yeah, it's personally. Drinking is personally. You can do that not for another. You can share it, what you feel and what you enjoy, but you must drink yourselves. That you are reading the scriptures, that the word of God is coming in you, and that you feel till in the deepest of your heart, this is the truth. This is truth. I remember that's come in my mind, a visit in my last congregation in the Netherlands. I shall not tell the whole story, that's too long. But I was called on a woman. She came from the world. But She came in the church. That's a nice story, but that's not the most important now. She called on me, "Pastor, do you have today a moment for me? I want to tell you something." I said, "Of course, I can." And I came to her. And she was so full of the love of Christ. For that night, she told me, the Lord came over in her heart and filled her soul with forgiving love and the peace which surpassed all understanding. It was so nice to hear that witness as he came out of the world. And then that's the most, what I want to say, most nice of that visit. I read with her Psalm 32. You know the psalm. Blessed is the man whose sins are forgiven, and so on. And she cried all the time and said all the time when I was reading, "That's true, that's true, that's true." You understand that? The word is so true. The Lord Jesus says it. He quotes the scriptures. He brings us to the scriptures. He is the fulfilling of the scriptures. "He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said." Always listen to what the scriptures say. That's the voice of God. Don't listen to any other voice in your life. Check everything on the scriptures. That's also drinking of the living water. The love for what God has said. The drinking in of his word. Sometimes you feel that when you are preaching in a congregation, the people are drinking. It can go out. People are believing, drinking. You can see it sometimes on the faces and you feel it in your heart. There is a unity between speaking. Word is going out. It's coming in the hearts and fills the hearts of the hearers with saving grace. What scriptures the Lord Jesus is meaning here? Well, I cannot mention them all, for there are a lot of texts which are speaking about fountains of life, springs of life, life, water of life. But I think I found one which literally says what he means. In Isaiah 58, verse 11, there the Lord promised his people, and that promise is for all his people here now too, all ages, "And thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water, whose waters fail not. Thou shalt be like a watered garden," so fruitful, so green, so nice, not barren. "And like a spring of water." That's what the scripture says. Oh Lord, make me a spring of water, that I may drink the waters of life, but that they may go out of me, out of my belly. For that's what the Lord Jesus is promising, that out of our belly, out of his belly, shall flow rivers of water. But now we consider first, what is the spring? Now you know, of course. But yet, I think that the Lord Jesus refers on what the apostle later on has written, the apostle John, when the Lord Jesus showed him the future and the glory of the eternal city and the beauty of that city. And then we read in Revelation 22, verse 1, "And he," that's Christ, "and he hewed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, And then it comes, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. Here we clearly read the spring, the throne of God. That spring is coming out of the eternal love and counsel of God, His eternal pleasure, which He has from all eternity with sinners. Do you like the doctrine of predestination? Do you like that? Some people don't like that so much. And then they don't like the word. And then they don't like God Himself. For God Himself, the eternal trial of God, is the spring of all salvation. And when you are drinking out of that spring, He teaches you that in your own personal life. For then you discover, otherwise you don't believe it really, but then you discover there is nothing, never nothing in me for which the Lord can love me. And there is everything in me for which the Lord must reject me. Did you see that? For your own self, for your own soul, there is nothing, and there shall be never nothing in me for which the Lord can love me. And I'm always sinning, sinning again, by which the Lord has the full right to reject me. So what a comfort that the Lord take reasons out of Himself, and that He brings you by the faith in Christ to that knowledge. He loves me with an eternal, though, with an eternal, unchangeable, perfect love. And He shall love me into all eternity. Sometimes the Lord permits us to look in His heart, the everlasting love of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. He loves me. I don't know why. There's no reason in me. He knows. He knows everything. From eternity to eternity. And He loved me so much that He gave also for me His only begotten dear Son. Salvation is coming forth from the eternal, unchangeable love of God. And you are drinking living water, and you enjoy that, and you see that for your own soul, when you are beloved by people, by your own husband, or by your wife, or by your friends, that's precious. Of course, so many people in the world are so lonely. I once visited a lady in one of the congregations, and I saw it and knew it, and I asked her, "Are you lonely?" "I think so, as you are very, very lonely." And then she began to cry and said, "There is nobody who loves me." "Then you are not lonely." But when you drink of the living waters, drinking out of the wells of salvation, you need not and cannot say that forevermore. For God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit love you And he shall fill your heart and life into all eternity with his love. And then you come at home with him. That love is in all perfection. It fills your whole being into all eternity, glorifying him for his love. So that's the spring. But then the apostle teaches, the Lord teaches, out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. We see very clearly the spring. The throne of God and of the Lamb. Here the Lord Jesus is teaching us as the Lamb. Do you know him in this way? The Lamb has been slaughtered for our sins. That's the whole religion of the Old Testament. Numbers and numbers, thousands and thousands of lambs has been sacrificed. Oceans of blood streamed, rivers of blood streamed through the Old Testament. All emphasizing the blood of Christ, the blood of the Lamb which has been slaughtered on that great day of atonement, on Golgotha. There your sins are forgiven. There your sins are blotted out. There the Lamb took away the sins of the world. There he gave his sacrifice more than abundantly, more than enough. For all your sins, sinner, there is a flow, a river of living water, which goes through your heart and life and mind and cleans you and makes you new and makes you ready for eternal glory. Then the Lord Jesus teaches us too that it comes out of our belly. Our belly. That seems to be a little bit strange. We are drinking. That comes in your stomach. And I think with belly the Lord means here, by example of course, for this is not meant physically, it is meant spiritually. Spiritual belly. How is that possible? Well, parts of it are often mentioned in the Bible. For example, Job is saying, my kidneys are extremely strong longing in my belly, my kidneys. It's an expression of the deepest desire. And sometimes we read that the psalmist is saying, My heart and my flesh are crying to the living God. So that means that living waters come in our belly and makes us total different people as we were. The waters of life we drink in and do their blessed work in our spiritual belly. And change is everything. So what is coming in? It's experience. And what is coming out is true. It's powerful. Sometimes you can hear that. We must be careful and cannot judge. That you hear people say the same things, and yet you feel it's not the same. It are the same words, true words, and yet they are empty. We need the fullness of living water. That's the Holy Spirit. And that brings us to our third thought, the rivers. The rivers. In the Greek here is a word that means a streaming, strong streaming river. Therefore, our translators in the Dutch has translated it with streams. Rivers is okay, but not softly silent going on. No, no, streaming, living, out of his belly. Shall flow rivers powerfully, streaming of living water. Well, that teaches that the living waters which are streaming out of our belly come in an abundance, not some drops. Not now and then a small brook, but rivers. Strong streaming rivers are flowing around us and do their powerful work and have their blessed influence. Where we are, where we live, they come out of us in abundance. You see that by example very clearly by the apostles. On the day of Pentecost, before that river came out of them, they were so afraid. But the Lord, on the day of resurrection, came to them. He came to doors who were closed because their fear of the Jews. We recognize that fear. We are shy. We have no courage to witness. We shame ourselves. The world doesn't. When people in soccer, football, has a victory, they don't shame for that victory. They are crying all the time, "We win, we win, everybody must know it. We have the victory, we are number one." Why are Christians so silent? We have the victory. In Christ, we are more than conquerors. We have an eternal victory. Satan's head is bruised. The victory is ours. Why do we not proclaim the victory? Can we learn of worldly people, of sports people? Of course, we can learn from them. Why are we so shy? When did the church grow? When they were silent? No, not at all. When they proclaimed, when there out of their belly came the rivers of living water, living words, words full of power. How many people became converted on one day? 3,000. That's it. Is that possible now? Is that possible for us? Why not? Why not? Is this promise limited to certain persons? To a certain time? I don't think so. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow. It must happen. Shall flow. When you really drink of the waters of life yourselves, and you know it experimentally, and you see the danger in which your fellow sinners are living, well, then it flows. It's a spring of living water, a river streaming through the church, through the family, through the school, through the business. What? That's a part. Sunday in the week is part. Is that right? That's not right. That's a lie. It's not a part. Our whole life belongs to the Lord. But we cannot preach the whole day. No, you cannot preach the whole day. You must work, and doing your work well. And by doing your work well, you are preaching too. People see that. That you are honest in your business. That you are faithful. It are all fruits of that living water. When your life is focused on God, not on earthly prophet so much, but the prophet of the kingdom of God, or that river flow through our lives, and when it comes out our belly, well, it flows in our environment. It cannot be hidden. It cannot be hidden. A true Christian cannot be hidden. The Lord uses in his word so many examples for that. A town on a mountain cannot be hidden. And a light on the candle cannot be hidden. And a living Christian who is drinking out of the wells of salvation cannot be hidden. The Lord says it. The rivers of living water shall flow out of his belly. Shall. It shall happen. It's not maybe. It's not now and then. It shall. It's irresistible. Abundance and irresistible. People cannot stop it. Maybe you heard a story too. I once heard in our country of an old man of 100 years old. And he was very, very against the word of God. He didn't attend the church, didn't want that. He could hear still. But his daughter was a God-fearing woman. And at a time she cried to her father, "Father, now you are 100 years and so close to eternity. Please, please, go to me along with me to the church at time." And he was, in his character, a gentleman. And well, he said, "Well, I do." But when he was in the church, he was thinking, "I am mad. I don't want to be here. My whole life I didn't want this. And now I'm here." So he did his fingers in his ears to hear nothing. "I want to hear nothing here." But there was a fly, and he was bold, always creeping on his head. So he had, and then there was only one word, I don't know what, but one word came from the pulpit: living water, river of living water, and came in and touched his heart, and he became saved. Irresistible. That a word is coming. We cannot, fortunately, resist it. Everybody who knows the powerful working of the Holy Spirit in his heart knows that. The Lord overwhelmed me. The Lord filled my heart. He took away all my enmity and unwillingness. That rivers of living water are so precious. And they are cleaning us. Cleaning. Water, by drinking, it comes in our belly, makes us pure, purify our thoughts, but also our words. Our words. In the missions field, there was a missionary, and there came a lady to him, from the village, and he asked him, "Please, sir, do you want to give me a new tongue?" He said, "I cannot give you a new tongue." "Yes, you can," she said, "for my neighbor. She's coming in your church and she has a new tongue. Before she came with you, she was always talking bad about people and everybody, and now she's talking all nice, good things. Please, sir, give me a new tongue." It's going out. The words which we are speaking, healing, honestly, warning, loving. For the Spirit of Christ is the Spirit of love. Rivers of living water coming out of our belly. It comes from out the heart. And even worldly people can feel that. And then they say it comes out of the heart. When they see sometimes tears in your eyes because you are moved, "Do you cry for me?" I answered. "Do you cry for me?" "Yes, for you. Because you are so unhappy. Every man, every child without Christ is so unhappy." And therefore we read that Jesus wept. Sometimes we cannot use words, but tears speak their own language. Tears speak their own language. When you are full of pity and compassion, and you cannot say so much, but they see your tears. Your children maybe can see it, parents, when they want to go the wrong way. That's more beautiful than hard words, isn't it? A tender heart, the heart of Jesus, the love of Christ, drinking in, coming out in your words, in the expression of your faith, and in your deeds, of course, too. For there cannot be a contradiction between the words and the deeds. That's what the Lord punished so much in the Pharisees. They had nice words, but bad deeds. But when the living waters, streaming waters, come out of our belly, out of our deepest inward life, with God, from God, it's all from Him, and it goes out to His glory. Living waters are coming out. But let us first sing together now, Psalter 225, verse 1 till 3.
Thank you.
sweet springs of joy shall fill. The living waters, we understand that very well, you two children. That's the Holy Spirit himself working in you, working by you. And when that living waters flow out of our belly, then the fruits of the Spirit become visible in our life, visible. They cannot be hidden. And I think the more that dear fruits are visible, the more the Lord Jesus wants to use us for the extending of his kingdom, to win people for Christ. That was my first question, isn't it, at the beginning. Living waters as a goal. The first goal is, of course, the glory of God. But God is glorified also in the multiplying of his church. And when people can see at us what is joy. One of the fruits of the Spirit, the first fruit is, Galatians 5, love, charity, love. Of course, God is love. And when the living waters came in your heart, the love of God has been poured out in your soul, and that love is shining from your face, from your deeds, from your whole being. The Lord changes us really, and that's a process and a struggle against our old man and our nature. But the rivers of living water are flowing and they are irresistible. But the second fruit is joy. To be glad in the Lord. Sometimes you can meet people when they speak about their hope in Christ and they give a witness of what the Lord gave them, that their faces are shining, that you can see it on their face, what is true joy. How sweet is that joy? Can you remember that you were for the last time glad in God? I think I used that example last week. A widow of one of my congregations, we came back from the funeral of her husband, and her face glanced, and she said in her own dialect, "I'm so glad, I'm so glad." The joy of the Lord. That makes other people jealous. The living waters, when we are drinking more, if we don't drink so much, we become dry, dry and barren. And that's not good. And when we don't drink, there comes nothing out. So we need continually to drink. We cannot drink the whole day, but we cannot have one day without drink. We must drink. And the more we drink out of the wells of salvation, the more it comes out of our belly, the outcome. And that may be our longing, our prayer, our deepest desire. Oh Lord, use me for my children, for my colleagues. I look unto them, and I see them on the way to eternity. And, oh Lord, as long as they are not saved, they are so unhappy. So that must fill our life and thoughts and hearts, the inward compassion for lost sinners, and by it the glory of God. For when a person goes over from death into life, there comes a person who glorifies God forever. And so that stream of living water is going out from the church. We see it very powerfully. I mentioned that on Pentecostal Day. But all the ages, through all the ages, the Lord raised up his servants and his people, and common Christians who are drinking out of the wells of salvation. And the river is flowing and streaming through the ages, through the world, till it comes out in eternity. For there we read, when the apostles, the Lord shewed the apostle what's coming, and he shewed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and out of the Lamb. That stream ends and never ends in eternity. And there a crowd, a number which no one can number, drinking out of the wells of salvation here, out of their belly streaming the waters of life, ending in eternity to the glory of God forever and ever. We love him because he first loved us. Out of the throne of God, it returns to the throne of God. And so the kingdom of God is coming. Let thy kingdom come, and let out of my belly flow a stream of living water. Lord, use me to thy glory and the benefit of my fellow sinners. Then you are happy. Amen. Let us pray together now. O gracious God, thy work is going on and on. Nobody can stop it. And give us all grace to be thirsty every day and to drink out of the wells of salvation, really drink, so that we enjoy thy love, forgiving, cleansing, renewing, reviving us, so that we are not shy nor silent, but that out of our belly, the deepest of our life, flows a river of living water, and we are used by thee to the salvation of many. And make us all longing, O Lord, to that day when the river flows into eternal life forever and ever. Make us ready, O Lord. We thank thee for all thy blessings. Pardon all our sins also of thy servants. Bring us back again tonight and give us a delight in thy service, in thy love. O Lord, we thank thee for all what thou gavest us also in this hour. Let it be to thy glory, to the benefit of each of us. We ask it in Jesus' name only. Amen. Let us sing together now Psalter 238, 1 till 3. 238, 1 till 3. Receive now the blessing of the Lord and go to your home in peace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.